Blog Talk Radio.
Following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Welcome to Logicast.
Logicast is a weekly podcast that airs every Thursday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am your host, Jared Smith, along with the lovely, wonderful Darby Eleanor Macy. You can check us out at blogtalkradio.com/logicast or visit us at facebook.com/logicast. This week, we are going to be discussing the recent Planned Parenthood video that went viral, what the Oklahoma GOP said about food stamp recipients, and why Donald Trump is a clever plant by the Democratic Party to ensure a landslide victory in the 2016 presidential election. And no, really, someone actually said that. Hey, Darb, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine, normal. Been struggling with, I rebuilt my computer. And added in some part. It's been a very arduous process. I'm not very good at this, so it's been a struggle. I guess knowing that you aren't good at something is great because then maybe you'll never do it again.
Not true.
Or you'll work hard to improve yourself. No, it's been fine. It's just I got a new motherboard and then got a new processor, and then decided I needed a new video card, then decided I needed a, you know, sort of new monitor, and yeah. Anyway, hasn't all worked out the way I thought it was going to. So, how are you doing? Everything good with you? I mean, normally we kind of open up the show and I ask you what annoyed you, but I can probably guess.
Yeah. You probably can.
Okay, so really what I want to talk about first, hang on, and I'm going to go pull it up right now. So, the Oklahoma Republican Party Facebook page shared the following status. It says, the food stamp program administered by the U.S. Department of Agriculture is proud to be distributing this year the greatest amount of free meals and food stamps ever to 46 million people. Meanwhile, the National Park Service, administered by the U.S. Department of the Interior, asks us, please do not feed the animals. Their stated reason for the policy is because the animals will grow dependent on handouts and will not learn to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know what I think about that, and before I go into a long tirade about how fucking mad that makes me, you're sort of kind of the voice of reason. So I'm going to let you, well, I mean, in terms, you don't get as pissed off about this shit as I do. So I'm going to let you go ahead. You tell me what you think.
Tell that to my dad, who saw smoke coming out of my ears when I saw that.
Yes, you were mad too. Yes. Okay. I want to feel your anger, Darby. I want you to express your anger to me in a way that is, that I
wow, you totally, you know, sound like the Emperor from Star Wars right there. Anyway,
a way that I can feel.
I can feel your anger. I'm disgusted with the, I mean, there's so many things wrong with that. I don't even know where to start, really. I really don't know where to start. I'm mostly, I'm mad. I'm really mad about it. But I find myself really disappointed in the total blind lack of empathy from my fellow human beings. And
yes, yes,
ridiculous ignorance that people have about who gets food assistance, who is using the SNAP program. And they don't, it's weird because a lot of the people that are reading their tweets are the ones that are getting food assistance. I wonder if they understand that. I think the answer is no. I think they have othered these people and relegated these people, right, into this lazy welfare queen idea, which we know is a fallacy. It's the same ridiculous fallacy that started people off trying to do drug tests on people who are getting state assistance. And we saw how that went, right?
Right.
I mean, it was almost no one that ever tested positive for drugs. And how much money was wasted on that shit? Because Republicans have this idea that, you know, we live in a welfare state that you know, rewards people for not working. Already you're in seriously deep shit there just from a factual perspective, because I don't know the number here, but I'm guessing you do. Do you know the number of people who are on SNAP and have jobs?
Well, I know that there are, you know, almost 50 million people who do receive SNAP benefits. I know that the majority of them are elderly or, you know, are children.
Children, right.
I think that the last number that I read was somewhere in the neighborhood of people who are not elderly and are not kids who actually do work full time is somewhere in between 80% and 90%.
Yeah,
so,
it is huge. It is a huge,
I mean, it's
percentage.
Very,
it is
very
almost
high.
Everybody that is working. And if you're talking about elderly people, the great majority of those people worked for their entire lives until they were unable to do so and retired. and their fixed income is not cutting it for being able to feed themselves in their old age.
It's amazing that this sort of personal responsibility thing, you know, when it comes to the elderly, you know, that Republicans don't really hammer that when it comes to the elderly, you know, like, oh, well, you didn't save your money when you were, you know, when you were sort of working, you know, your ass off for the majority of your life. And now all you have is Social Security and that doesn't pay enough for you to live. So you need the food stamps. You know, I'm amazed that they don't really go after that. And they don't, because that makes up a large part of their voting block, which is fucking weird. But I mean, I got to tell you, like, that's really strange.
No, I mean, we should probably do an entire show on people voting against their own personal interests, because that is happening in such huge swaths of the population.
Let me tell you, they don't think that it's against their own interests.
Oh, I know. That's how it works so well.
What they think is that they might be voting against their own interests now, but when they get their way, they're going to be the successful people who, you know, I mean, in their mind, they are actively voting against their future, or actively voting in favor of their future self-interests, right? So, you know, which is so weird, because if you're voting in favor of your future self-interest, you're basically saying that you don't need any help now, and obviously you do. So,
I think you're actually giving people too much credit.
I think
there are tons of people who are thinking, yeah, those moochers, I don't want those people getting free money from the state. That comes out of my taxes. And then you say to the person, haven't you gotten WIC? And they're like, well, yeah, but that was me. Like, I work.
Well, no,
hard.
It's always something. Yeah, it's always something that they pay for. You know, I mean, it's
right.
It's so easy. You know, the GOP, the Republicans in general, have made it so easy to dehumanize anyone who is poor and who is taking money from the government, that, I mean, it's almost like they're not even really human beings.
Right. And even if the person who's ranting about them is doing exactly the same thing, that's not who they're talking about. I don't mean me. I mean all those lazy people who aren't working.
Right.
But aren't you taking the same benefits as they are? But I need it.
That they are working.
Yeah.
Republicans, conservatives in general believe that they are working. What they're working on doing is you know, working the system. I mean,
yeah, because your life is so terrific. When you can barely buy groceries. I mean,
how much? Do you spend on food a day? For you and your family, how much do you spend on food?
I don't know. I don't really know.
You don't know how much you spend on food a day? Okay.
Not really. I mean, because there's the grocery store trips are often not just food, and definitely, you know what I mean? So other stuff that I wouldn't count as food that wouldn't be covered on a SNAP card also gets bought at the same time. Things for my pets, that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So how much I spend on food every day, if it's just groceries, God, I don't know. I'd have to do the math. I don't know. I don't even want to hazard a guess, because
to be honest, we probably spend combined between my, you know, between me and my wife, we probably spend about $20 a day on food.
Okay.
About $20. So the average food stamp recipient gets, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 to $3 per day. Like $1 to $3 per day. I mean, we're going to get mad at people over having an additional $150 or $200 a month, you know,
and think about food.
Because that's what you're talking about. You're talking about access to foodstuffs. I mean,
yes. And how hard do you have to? I mean, you probably have been too. I have been in a position in my life where I had to pay attention to every single thing I bought and how much it was going to cost. And usually I was budgeting for groceries by the week. I would take one trip a week and I would have to know, like, this is how much I have to spend for this week. Can you imagine doing that on, you know, if such a high percentage of your income goes to living costs, it's supposed to be a third. And we've seen in recent weeks with studies, it's more like 2/3.
Well, I mean, even and worse, so like, it, you know, imagine that it's not just for you and me. Imagine that, you know, your son, you know, I mean, that you're trying to figure out how you're going to feed yourself and also feed your child at the exact same time. And then you have all of these assholes who are basically saying that you're leeching or sucking off of the system. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
that's right. And you're,
I've asked people this. I'm like, balance $4 a day for you and your kid. Tell me how that works out for you. I want you to try to balance $4 a day in food for you and your child. You know,
and you know what you have to buy if you have $4 a day? It's going to be food that's shitty for you, but guess what? You'd rather be feeding your kid something that, like Kraft macaroni and cheese from a box every day than have them really hungry when they go to bed. Who wouldn't?
Right. That's right. You're going to do
your
whatever you have.
Your fresh vegetables are, right. That's right. You do whatever you have to do. And I know, and I'm comfortable saying this, most parents, not all parents, but most parents would go hungry before they'd let their kid go hungry. So you're yelling at people who are probably hungry. They're getting SNAP assistance if they have a good food bank locally and know how to access it, which that's a big if already, then they're probably getting food from there too. But you're also living in this, food insecurity is a real thing. So if you're not hungry every day, the next step up from that, which is a great step into luxury, is not knowing when you're going to have enough food or if you're going to have enough food this week or if you're going to run out before you get your next, your SNAP card gets more money on it or, you know, what am I going to pay the electric bill or am I going to buy groceries? How cold is it? I mean, this shit is terrible. This should not be happening in a civilized country.
And it's always, it almost always comes from the people who are so pro-life. You know,
yes,
that's what,
have all the babies.
Right. Like, we want you to have kids. We just don't want to be responsible for taking care of them. And what I always ask people is, well, what the fuck happens to the kids if we don't have benefits for the children? So they can eat and they can go to school and they can have clothes, you know, with health care.
Yeah, they're such greedy little assholes. They need things like clothes and food.
Fucking socialism.
They have the audacity to grow out of their fucking shoes.
Yeah, really? They want clothes and food? Like, who are they?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. You mean kids need to be able to go to a school where they can learn things? Ah.
And they need to eat breakfast every single morning so that their brain
actually
works and they can learn things.
Are you actually telling me that you think that children need to eat breakfast and lunch and dinner, that they need to have a you know, decent caloric intake, you know, and they need to have a certain level of nutrition in order for their brains to grow so that whenever they grow up and end up going to college, that they can, you know, acquire degrees that will allow them to be able to become contributing taxpaying members of society? Are you really trying to make that argument?
Yeah.
It's a good argument. You know, what really made me mad about that, by the way, what they said in comparing food stamp recipients to animals, you know, that is a position and opinion that is shared by a lot of people who identify as Republican. The problem is, or rather the crazy part is that the Oklahoma Republican Party just had the balls to say it. I mean, I guarantee you that a majority of conservatives agree with them. And they may not come out and publicly state that they agree with them, but I promise you that a lot of them do. I mean,
yeah.
Go and have a conversation with the average conservative, and if they do not compare people on welfare or some form of welfare or some form of government assistance to animals within the first 30 minutes of the conversation, they are the exception, not the rule, at least in my experience, which is, you know, as valuable as anyone else's. But I mean, it's pathetic. Like, if you really want to talk about how much it costs in this country for healthcare, let's cut off food stamps tomorrow and let's see healthcare costs go out of fucking control. I mean, what do you think? Or, you know, what do you think happens whenever you have malnourished children and malnourished adults? Malnourished adults can't go and, you know, produce malnourished children, you know, and tend to get sick more often, you know, tend to, in general, have higher fevers anyway. And now they're lacking nourishment. Now you have a society filled with people who are at the lower echelons of the economic tree. And, you know, now you're paying a lot more for them simply because you didn't want to feed them. I mean, that is simply absurd. We are the richest country in the world, and you're really telling me that we don't have the money, or that we're so shitty that, you know, that we don't want to make sure that people eat decently, or at least that they have access to food? Really?
Yeah.
Like, this has become a thing in the, you know, in kind of the Republican Party now. You know, this whole idea about quote-unquote entitlements. You know, yeah, I think that people should be fucking entitled to have food and a place to live and health care. And that makes me crazy somehow. I don't know how.
It makes you a goddamn commie.
I know, I'm terrible. Like, I think people should, you know, not, I think people shouldn't have to miss work because of a, you know, because of a an easy preventable disease that, you know, could be cured with, you know, a simple doctor visit. You know, I think that, you know, people should have access to food. I mean, it's so fucking nuts. Like, it's ridiculous. And what's crazy is that everybody talks about, you know, my taxes are high because of entitlements. No, they're fucking not. Your taxes are not high because of entitlements. In fact, your taxes are not high at all. Your wages are just low. And your wages are low. Because
And the thing is, your taxes are kind of high because of entitlements, but not the ones you're talking about. Corporate welfare and tax cuts are costing you personally a lot of money. That is a real problem, but it's not the entitlements that you're thinking about. What are the numbers there, Jared? Isn't it 30? I think an individual, your average person, pays $36 a year for things like food assistance, and a couple thousand for corporate crap, bailouts and you know, tax crap. I mean, yes, we have a problem with entitlement. It's not the ones you're talking about.
Right. So,
it's beyond absurd. I can't.
So a lot of what's happened is that our this country used to have a fairly large corporate tax rate, right? And what's happened is that now the corporate tax rate has been reduced to such a point where individuals are now fronting the brunt of at least when it comes to the federal income tax. So problem is you know, in the corporate tax rate, a lot of it. You know, and I mean, yes, like we spend an absurd amount of money. Depending on how you actually quantify the numbers, I mean, it could be anywhere from $150 billion to, you know, about $325 to $375 billion, you know, in corporate, basically in either between corporate subsidies and, you know, tax bailouts and, or rather, you know, sort of tax incentives that allow them to not pay as much money. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about really fucking high numbers. Like, it's not a joke, you know. But these people don't have a problem with that. You know, they have a problem. This is what I've never understood, Darp. you have more in common, the you, me, normal people, we have more in common with poor people than we do with the super rich, right?
Yeah, of course, yep.
So I'm trying to understand why it is that people who are in the middle class feel like they have more in common with the super rich than with the poor. And I wonder if it's sort of like a projection that if they protect the rich,
of what they want. Yep.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that they'll end up becoming that way.
Yeah,
the vast
I think
majority
that has
of
to be
human
it.
Beings on this planet who have ever existed have never been rich, will never be rich, and, you know, simply don't have access to that. I mean, it's, you know, similar to kind of winning the lottery. You know, the Mark Cubans of the world, there's a reason why there's only one of them.
Yeah.
And you're not it. You know.
Yeah, and chances are good you're not going to be it. You know, what you were saying earlier reminds me, this is funny, I don't think I've ever said, Jared, what you're saying reminds me of something a Catholic archbishop said, but it does.
Fair enough.
You know, Camara, do you know who I'm talking about? He was a Catholic archbishop in Brazil. Camara.
Yes, yes.
Yes, who said, when I give food to the poor, they call me a saint. When I ask why the poor have no food, they call me a communist.
Communist, yes. Brilliant, brilliant statement, by the way.
It is. It's a good thing that that's what he's remembered for, because it was a good thing to say. But the answer, of course, the response to that is pretty dismal. But why is it that that keeps happening and won't stop, especially here? We have a serious, like, and this is an American cultural thing more than other places by far. If you, Canadians do not have this, like, overwhelming sort of vitriolic hatred and disgust, hatred for and disgust with the poor that we seem to have in this widespread way. Did you hear about this city in Florida that had a meeting where the business owners were saying that the homeless were not people and had no rights?
Yes, I did hear about this.
I mean, for fuck, really?
And by the way, before you say anything, I want to point out that, you know, that some of those people they were talking about who are homeless are Vietnam veterans who were drafted and who did not have the option, you know, to go to war, and they came back and they had PTSD and they had, you know, no access to proper mental health care, no access to normal health care. And, you know, and a lot of them are not only mentally disabled, but they're physically disabled, you know.
Yeah,
and
couldn't get a job. And how can you get a job if you're fucked up? Yeah.
That's right. Couldn't get
from
jobs.
Something that you didn't choose to do.
That's right. And now, you know, the generation that didn't go to war, you know, is deciding that they're no longer people. So.
And they have no rights.
And they don't have any rights. And, you know, according to these assholes, they shouldn't have rights, which is complete and total bullshit. They're human beings.
Yes, I'm a really radical believer that human beings should be treated like human beings. I know that just makes me a crazy person, doesn't it? Fucking liberals.
Well, you know, you just ignore the reality of the world. You know, where some people don't treat others like human beings, which therefore justifies our ability to not treat some people like human beings. I mean, that's the entirety of the argument.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. I mean, that's what they say. They say, well, this is the reality of the world. Other people, you know, do X, Y, or Z. So therefore, I'm allowed to do X, Y, or Z because, you know, I'm simply being reactionary.
Right, because that's a good reason to do it. One person does something shitty, and I should be able to do the same shitty thing because I'm a second grader.
Yeah.
I mean, I had 2 5-year-olds and a 3-year-old in my house today, and that reasoning was used there. Did you kick your brother? Yes. He kicked me first. Okay.
Yeah, well,
that's actually
not
a good reason to kick your brother. However, yeah, your brother shouldn't have kicked you in the first place. That's where we're going here. And I'm not talking about self-defense. I'm talking about retaliatory behavior.
I mean, I hate to be the one to point this out, but it's like the Republican Party and the GOP in particular, like, they're the only party that invites 12 and 13 and 14-year-old authors and, you know, radio, you know, quote-unquote personalities who are preteens or just now entering their teenage years to speak at CPAC. I mean, honestly, like, the GOP, you know, well, fuck, you want me to go pull names of the kids that they
I've never heard of this, so I'm asking you about it.
Okay, let me see. CPAC child author, I can bring this up immediately. Jonathan Crone is one.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah. Oh, okay. He has written for The Guardian, The Atlantic, Salon, and Mother Jones, among others. Crone was made the International Affairs Politics Fellow for Kurdish Media Company, Radaz England. This was the kid who said that, you know, who said that that conservatism is not about romanticism, that, you know, that it's about facing reality. I mean, like, when he said it's all of 15. I mean, come on, dude. Like, Bill Maher made a really great point about this, that if, you know, to be honest, if you're, if your political ideologies can be shared and promoted by kids, by young 15-year-old dudes, maybe you should rethink your policies. I mean, really. Like, I don't know.
Not all 15-year-olds are stupid. Some of them are amazing. But the fact is, you know, if you, what is it that you're valuing? Are you valuing judgment and experience? Are you just valuing people that say the same thing as you, no matter how old they are? Especially if they've been told that by their parents. You know what I mean?
Well, hang on. I realize that not all, you know, 14 and 15-year-olds are stupid. I'm saying that they are, but they definitely lack any kind of real-world experience because they've been sheltered by it, the majority of them, especially those who have,
that's,
you know, grown up in, sort of, you know, upper white middle-class communities. You know, have been sheltered by the reality of the world that they have yet to face. And if you invite these people to come into your, you know, to your collective, you know, it's probably, and they say things that you applaud, it's because you agree with something that a 14-year-old says. And if you think that a 14-year-old, you know, understands the complexities of life, the so-called realities of life that you claim exist, then maybe they don't exist the way you understand them.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Do you value judgment and experience, or just someone saying a thing you agree with? Especially if it's someone cute or someone, out of the mouths of babes. I mean, that just seems like a stunt.
It's pretty silly. I mean, I gotta say, like, it's kind of ridiculous, right? I mean, like, who does that? Like, Democrats, like, don't do that. You know, and I tend to lean Democrat, but I mean, you know, I consider myself an independent, but Democrats don't do that shit. Like, when was the last time the Democrats actually had a kid show up and, you know, and get on the microphone, you know, and start talking about, like, the complexities of, you know, the liberal position?
Well,
like, that
the last person I can think of that had an opinion who was still in their teenage years was that Zach dude. Remember Zach? His last name.
Yeah.
And the reason that Zach had an opinion is because he'd experienced this himself. And it was actually about something that happens in high school. It was relevant. He had the most recent relevant experience. He had actually done the work to figure out that what was happening was illegal. And he cared about the fact that it was happening. This is all in his wheelhouse.
Yeah, you're talking about the Copland kid.
Yes, Zach Copland.
Yeah, the kid who understood science better than, you know, better than the elected officials.
Yes, yeah. That's the one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between, you know, sort of promoting an ideology to a group of people who are going to agree with you, you know, so long as you basically say
that's what I'm saying,
great.
Yes.
And, you know, between, you know, this kid who, you know, is like, yeah, you guys don't have any idea what you're talking about. I mean, that's always what I'm amazed. Like, I'm amazed by that. It's like, oh, we don't require any proof. We don't require any, you know, substance. We require, you know, we don't care. You're saying what we like you to say, and you know, that's kind of good enough for us. You know.
Right.
And then they accuse Obama of being a Nazi. I mean, that's what's kind of insane to me.
Yeah.
I mean, holy shit, dude. Like, I'm still so upset that these assholes would have compared food stamp recipients to animals.
Yep.
It is just, you know, it is very, very, very upsetting. And it is upsetting because for a nation that calls itself Christian, at some point you have to actually admit that you're not willing to follow certain things in the Bible, that, you know, you're just sort of cherry picking them. Right? I mean, if you don't want to take care of the poor and you don't want, you know, rich people to contribute to the general fund and you don't like paying taxes and, you know, I mean, you don't care about, you know, capital punishment, which is murder. I mean, you don't want to forgive your enemies. You don't want to turn the other cheek. I mean, like, at what point do you actually say, okay, fine, maybe we are not, in fact, a Christian nation. Maybe most people say they're Christians, but obviously the Christian party, or the party that favors the Christian doctrine, doesn't actually adhere to any of these things.
Yep.
I mean, you know, that's just really weird. I've had this conversation with people before, and say that, yeah, well, Jesus was talking about, you know, sort of private people taking care of other private people, and you know, they'll bring up Paul, and well, to some extent that is true. The issue with it is that you have an entity that can actually serve these people a lot better than your church. So what's the fucking problem?
Yeah. I don't know. And I mean, there were a lot of dumb things happening this week. I don't know. The problem seems to be entrenched. People entrench themselves in their position. They surround themselves by, and this is both sides, surround themselves by only people who agree with them. And instead of listening to what the other side might have to say to see if they wouldn't need to reevaluate their position, they just double down and double down and double down. Then you end up with Joni Ernst and Donald Trump. Right?
Yes. Yes. No, I mean, I agree. Okay. So let's kind of, to Donald Trump. So I'm going to let you go.
Okay. Well, one of my favorite things that happened this week about Donald Trump, who I don't understand who is saying they like this guy in the polls. I heard one political analyst say that the reason that people like Donald Trump is because they think he's being honest. And I guess I have to give him that. I think he's being honest too. And I understand that people are jaded by politicians giving non-answers, but what that sort of ignores is the fact that he's being honest and he's fucking crazy. This guy is unhinged. He is overtly hypocritical. He's nuts. I mean, you can't just go, oh, these Mexicans, most of them are rapists. Some of them are probably nice too. But yeah, of course I have an illegal, you know, undocumented people working for me. And then he just marches on. It just doesn't think about it. And so some politician in Florida whose name is escaping me right now, I'm sorry about that, it's not hard to find, has And I actually, I said this myself not very long ago. A friend of mine who's a lawyer said the same thing. What I said is not what the Florida guy said. I said, I think Donald Trump might be a performance artist. Because you couldn't get more bizarre than this guy. He just keeps on and on and on with more and more absurdities. And you're thinking, is this am I being punked? Or is he a performance artist? Well, this guy from Florida says he's not a performance artist. He's a plant. He is so bad. The Democrats have planted him to make conservatives look bad. And, I mean, I'm not saying this because he's talking about how Trump's friends with the Clintons and whatever, and they've done this on purpose to us to make us look bad. I think it's funny that he singles out Donald Trump because he doesn't think that somebody planted Scott Walker?
No.
Ted Cruz?
They're normal. They're normal crazy conservatives. But I mean, that's a really good point, because now the crazy, Donald Trump is crazy in comparison to Ted Cruz as far as Republicans are concerned. That in and of itself is pretty fucking crazy. I mean,
yeah, it is.
Like, Ted Cruz is a hyper-religious idiot who, you know, and I mean, he's like a well-educated guy. I mean, he's like Bobby Jindal. Like, he's a well-educated dude. How in the world can they be so stupid?
Yeah. One wonders.
One does wonder. It's almost like they might be doing it because they're a bunch of stupid people who will give them money. I mean,
yeah.
You know, that's Donald fucking Trump, dude. You know, what's hilarious is that he just continuously, you know, kind of doubles down on his craziness. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. No, he does. That's what I'm saying. He doubles down. He doubles down every time you get to him. And then somebody says, don't you have undocumented workers? Oh, probably. But I can't be responsible for that. And I'm in the party of personal responsibility.
He doesn't just double down. Like, he tries to create an entirely new game where he can just throw more money at it. And, you know, I mean, honestly, you know, if this were blackjack, then he's just creating the rules as he, you know, as he goes along. And he's like, oh, fuck it. No, I don't care. I'm a hypocrite. It doesn't matter.
Who cares? I'm rich.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically the only argument that he has. And it's not like Republicans don't love that argument. I mean, after all, they tried to elect it in 2012.
Yeah, I know.
So, God, fucking Donald Trump, man. That guy,
yeah.
Like, I gotta give the dude credit. Like, I mean, he's, you know, he is, he's working the crazy. I mean, he might have lost all of those endorsements, but the dude's saying he's worth $10 billion. He obviously doesn't need them. You know, and not only he's working. If he really believes this, then it just goes to demonstrate that you do not have to be a smart person to make a lot of money in this country.
No, you don't.
I mean, it really is sad. I mean, it's really sad in a lot of ways that, you know, that we've gotten to this point where a fucking complete moron, you know, like Donald Trump can run for president. I mean, any, you know, rich idiot.
We've been at this point for a while. Palin
well, I know
ran for
that.
President or what, you know, wanted to, whatever.
Well, vice president, but.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of picked out of the pocket. To Palin's credit, I don't think that it was fair for them to have picked her. I think that was probably one of the worst strategical moves that was ever made, you know, when it comes to picking a vice president.
I think it probably was. I don't remember my early vice presidential history from American history very well. I don't remember there being anything as catastrophic as that, truly. And McCain, I expected more from McCain because he had moments of sanity back then. Do you remember?
Yes. I mean, but it's when he's, like, stuttering, you know, I can't remember what show he was on, but he was, like, stuttering, basically going, yeah, you know, I really believe that, you know, that the United States was created as a Christian nation. And I'm like, there's no fucking way that you, John McCain, actually truly believe that. I mean, it obviously wasn't. You know that it wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you're a seasoned statesman. There's no way. And you're a war veteran. Like, you know, and you've read some shit. There's no way that you actually believe that. But, you know, this is always what happens. I mean, and I've talked about this before, where you have the fringe side of the Republican Party, namely the evangelicals, make up a very, very important part of the voting bloc of the Republican Party. Very important. You know, because, I mean, hey, you can say what you want about evangelicals, but those fucking people vote, dude. Like, they get out there. I mean, they are, you know, they are all about getting out there and voting. I mean, they will bus people to voting places. I mean, they will, you know, the pastors and preachers will, in defiance of their 501c3, will stand on the pulpit and they will preach politics. I mean, they will get their people out there to vote. I got to give them credit. They get,
yeah,
the evangelicals. They get their people out there to vote. And, you know, so you got to have that. I mean, you got to have that. I'd be willing to wager that probably anywhere from, you know, 25 to 40% of, you know, of the Republican Party, you know, in terms of their voting stature is, you know, comes from the evangelical vote. I mean, and from the people that the evangelicals are able to convince to vote on their side. I mean, they have a very powerful block. I just got to say, a very powerful block. So they have, yeah, to attract that. Well, how do they attract that? They allow people like Ted, you know, they promote people like Ted Cruz to run. You know, Ted Cruz is a crazy douchebag who will, you know, never be president of the United States of America. And I think he knows that. He's not stupid, you know.
Yeah.
But he knows that his constituents and the people who vote for him and support him are stupid. I mean, you know, you really have to love yourself a lot. You really have to have an ego to know that you have no chance of ever being president of the United States, to go and run for president and, you know, to pack halls and, you know, pack stadiums and, you know, spread this message of, you know, separation, you know, of ego, if you will. And still be able to convince them to vote for the moderate candidate. I mean, it is absolutely beautiful. Like, what these people have done, what the GOP has done is incredible. I mean, I have to give them credit. It is incredible.
Yeah, depressing, but yes.
Very depressing.
Wow. It's we didn't even get to a lot of the stuff that we wanted to, and we're already 10 minutes from done.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of crazy, isn't it?
Yes.
That's all right, though. I mean, you know. Planned Parenthood, by the way, do you want to go ahead and cover that for the last of the 10 minutes? I mean,
I thought you had a rant.
Well, I do have a rant, but it's not going to take 10 minutes. Jesus fucking Christ.
Oh. Sometimes it does.
But
awesome.
You have a rant. Well, I do have a rant, but I mean, it's going to take all of 5 minutes, and we're going to close the show. So we got 5 minutes, I guess, to cover it.
Well, it's a hard thing to do, because when you look up information on this, I've been having a hard time finding any. I found the original videos of this woman who everyone seems to be really upset that she's drinking red wine with her lunch while she's talking about this. I can't tell you how many times I've seen that reported in conservative columns. I think there's something definite about it that it really offends them. Talking about how, and it depends on who you talk to, how they're selling body parts for profit from aborted fetuses. And there are, well, okay.
I want to back up on the red wine thing real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
I can almost guarantee you that that chick did not order the red wine on her own. I guarantee you that the people sitting there ordered the red wine for her. I mean, and I'm not making excuses. Like, that's very normal whenever you're trying to, you know, to kind of woo a, you know, to woo someone that, you know, can help make you money. I mean, that's, you know, it's a very normal thing. I mean, and having a glass of wine with lunch is not a big fucking deal. I mean, Jesus Christ, not, you know, the 1600s. I mean, well, if it was the 1600s, that would be completely normal. You know, it's not after the Volstead Act. I mean, so anyway, all right, go ahead.
So let me just first say, if it were true, then Planned Parenthood was making a profit from selling embryonic tissue. That would be illegal.
Right.
So I'm a big Planned Parenthood supporter, and I can give you many reasons why I am. But let's just say they were doing that. I would be a fan of them being prosecuted for that because it's illegal. But I don't see how the alternative is this. So the line is blurred here. Several conservative columnists have said basically that women are it's hard for me to even say this out loud. They're implying that women are going into Planned Parenthood, I think, to make money off body parts of their aborted fetuses and embryos. That's ridiculous. Women are paying money for that, and that's not why anybody is terminating a pregnancy. Okay, that's A. B, here's the alternative. The woman is coming in to terminate a pregnancy, no matter what you do with the contents of her uterus. Is it better to throw that tissue in a biohazard bag in the trash, or is it better to send it to somebody who can do research with it and maybe save people's lives? That's really my question here, because this seems awfully beside the point. Now, if it turns out that they're actually making money off this, that's illegal. And it's also just, what are you doing? This can't possibly be. I mean, that would be insane. But I don't know. Okay, don't know. No idea. The long form video I have not seen. I have to say for the yes, I have to say, because it's three hours long. I have to say on the from being a critical thinker, I haven't watched it, so I don't know what it says. I only know what the short one says. So anyway, no, jump in here. We're running out of time, and I don't want to.
No, it's fine. I'm actually glad you said that. So we have to get to dumb shit of the week. Is there anything else you want to add? Darby, as always, you're great. I love you. So in dumb shit of the week, while conservatives were busy ignoring the history of why we fought the Civil War, they also decided to ignore the history of what led to the establishment of a radical theocracy in one of the most violent places in the entire world, which precipitated a historic nuclear weapons deal that most of them seem to be against. Which is funny, because I'm pretty sure the saying doesn't go, "Those who ignore history will surely make better decisions next time around." In 1941, it's fine, I'm used to it. In 1941, Iran was invaded by the British and the Soviets so the Allies could confiscate the Iranian oil fields to ensure the Allies, specifically the Soviets, had enough fuel to fight against the Axis. Then the two countries deposed Iran's leader, Reza Shah, for being, as they called it, sympathetic to the Nazi regime, a silly accusation given the fact that the Iranian embassies in war-torn parts of Europe had rescued over 1,500 Jews, granted them citizenship, and then moved them to Iran in secret. Once the British and Soviets had taken over the majority of Iran, the Shah was forced to surrender, and in the process, a new prime minister named Al-Farafi was appointed. Farafi proceeded to negotiate with the British and inform them that the Shah needed to be removed. The British then demanded that the Shah remove all German and Italian embassies and that all remaining German nationals, including families of children, be handed over to the British and Soviet authorities, presumably so they could either be imprisoned or put to death. Or, as Republicans call it, a win-win. So, this radical leader decided to secretly evacuate the German nationals, and by September 18th, most of them had escaped through the Turkish border. After the Soviets found out, they invaded Tehran, and the Shah was arrested, exiled to a prison in South Africa, and then he died there a few years later. In 1953, the CIA and British intelligence staged a coup to oust Mohammad Mossadegh, the democratically elected prime minister of Iran, because he attempted to nationalize the country's oil industry because he felt like he was getting screwed by the AIOC, the company that would later become British Petroleum. And after all, when is British Petroleum ever screwed anyone over? Following the coup, Mossadegh was imprisoned and the United States government installed the Shah. And according to a study by one historian, the United States wanted to establish a dictatorship to gain control over Iran's oil. Then in 1979, the Iranian people had enough shit and decided to oust the pro-American Shah and replace him with the anti-American Ayatollah Khomeini. And this is what set the stage for the long-running feud between the United States and Iranian governments. And if that sounds like Egypt, then good, because this isn't the first time it has happened. And you know what's crazy? Conservatives still haven't learn their lesson. The Brits have, and the Russians have. But don't you dare ask the United States of America to learn from something gay like history. That would require us to read books, and we know that books are for liberals. You know, what I don't understand is about all the cheerleading about, you know, over our armed service members. So some of our elected officials sure do enjoy going out of their way to send them to die in places we have no fucking business being in. And every single step in the name of peace isn't Obama capitulating to the whims of Muslim theocracies. It is Obama trying to fix a horrible, awful, exploitative foreign policy that involves this country taking advantage of other countries to serve our own interests. And the normal chicken hawks making the rounds in the Republican presidential race calling for no deals and no negotiations are clones of the exact same people who suffered from the exact same mentality that got us into this ridiculous mess in the first place. Does anyone wonder why the Iranians don't burn the Canadian flag or talk about how much they hate Mexico? Because they're not fucking there. We are. And this is the number one reason why terrorists attack this country. It isn't because they hate our freedom. It's because they believe we hate theirs. You've been listening to Logicast. We are on every Thursday night, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Jared Smith, my wonderful, beautiful, amazing co-host, Darby Macy. We will see you next week. Salute. Bye, Darby.